with me the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter number 2. I'm coming to you tonight with just a Bible and a small few things wrote on a sticky note that I felt like God began to deal with me on, and I want the Lord to help me, and I'd like for you to help me. It's probably one of the most shocking stories of the Bible to me. And when I say shocking, I'm talking about to the nature of the setting of these scriptures, you'll understand it. It is the calling of Elisha to be in the man of God that's going to take the place behind Elijah. And it is the turning factor in Elisha's life where he submits it all to God and becomes a child of God. And in this very passage of Scripture, his first miracle, he makes bitter water sweet. But then right after that miracle, there is a real shocking profoundness that is really touching to me. And I want to preach tonight if the Lord will help me on these scriptures. You found your place? Say amen. Amen. Verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. I feel like it's very fitting to say Bethel there because it's written in the Bible. And I am preaching to Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them. Hebrew says, obey them that hath rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I need to read that again. Obey them that hath rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them. That one statement there at the last lets me know they were more than 42 children. It just caught 42 of them. And I want to preach tonight on the danger of disrespect. The danger of disrespect. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to help me to preach tonight? Father, I need you. I need your help right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need you, Lord, to move and to minister in this place. Speak to our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that you would help me for just a little bit. I know that the subject that I felt yesterday is something that's rare for me, but I have felt yesterday. I knew where I was headed this morning, and I knew where I was headed tonight. And it's rare to preach what I feel like I need to preach. I'd rather have a visiting preacher preaching it. And I'm going to tell you why I'd rather have a visiting preacher preaching it. Because it carries a great weight. And that is, number one, I've got family here. My wife's got family here. And some of you are my friends deeply. And what I'm about to preach may offend family. It may offend friends. It's just something that has to be. You must agree with me that we live in a generation where respect is not a chosen character of life. Amen. You must agree with me that we have a generation of children that has lost the value of being trained what it means to respect adults. I'm talking to you tonight a little different. I've schooled some of your children, and just their attitudes let me know you don't teach them the proper character of authority. Nine out of ten, most parents that despise correction, and please stay with me, let me lay this out. Nine out of ten, most parents that hate correction from preaching, hate correction from counsel, despise instruction from authority that's over them, generally raises some of the most wild and chaotic, disrespectful children that could be given to any family. Your excuse to that child is that they don't have to listen to nobody. I am your parent. Is your license to tell them, you do as you please, and don't worry about answering to nobody. Disrespect has become part of our generation. Just like in some of you elders, your generation grew up with moral character, grew up with understanding authority. It's almost now that we have to smack the mouths of our children, because when they're in the presence of adults, you hear more of the children than you do the adults. And you have weak parents that allows that to happen. We've come a long ways, but I don't think our long ways is helping us. When And I was coming up as a boy, and I knew where I'm headed. And I'm going to preach in a minute on my subject that I read to you. But I want to paint the picture how far we've come in the wrong direction. There's a day when I grew up at home. If adults were there, I've ate Sunday dinner on pallets on floors while the adults had the table. We've got children that won't even stand up for a lady, much less an older person. There was a day when character was instilled in our boys. When a woman walked in the room and there wasn't a seat, you'd find 10 or 15 men that would get up and say, "Here, you can sit right here." It was character that was raised in their lives. And some of you parents that are young and doesn't have any ounce, I know that your attitude toward me tonight is going to be very defiant, very cross-thinking, because you see what's in your arms and what's on your pew has yet to grow up to defy you. It has yet to grow up and look at you and tell you, get out of their life. Right now you're still changing the diaper. You're still doing everything, and it's a fool that could set an instruction and not feel the need to listen. Amen. I remember, and I know some of you say, "Well, I just love," and I'm going somewhere, "I just love my grandchildren." But does your love them so much it makes them distasteful and disrespectful? I love my children. I love my grandchildren. But in the process of that loving, you'd rather take a chair outside and let them have a chair inside. That is the same disposition and attitude that fell upon Hezekiah's day. I ain't got time to go into it all, but I'm going to hit the highlights of it and preach it to you in a minute. But Hezekiah repaired the house of God, opened the doors in the house of God. Hezekiah died and his son came in there, and he carried it away to false and idol worship. But then his son came in there when his daddy died and shut the doors to the house of God and posted a sign, if you want to say, "Nobody worships here." They wasn't taught to respect the holy things of God. Hezekiah knew, and I want to take you somewhere if I can. Hezekiah knew that without a church in the community and without a church in the kingdom, it was bound to fall to idol worship. And somewhere, even in the midst of all of this, Hezekiah forgot to instill in the life of his own children that the house of God should be paramount, number one, out of everything else in life. Amen. But I know that what I'm preaching to you tonight is odd for our generation. It's odd for our children to take it. It's odd because we're in an educated age. We're in a money-grabbing age. We're in a gain-for-myself age. And we're in a time when I've got to have it for myself. And I don't care what it costs me, who I've got to step on, who I've got to lie to get it. The fact of the matter is I've got to have it for myself. Look at some of your children when they play with other children. And you look at how they act and you look at how they respond to other children and how they treat other children, that nature that wants them to be suppressing over top of every other child is a nature of disrespect. It is forgotten all about the nature of brotherhood. It is the power of the Word of God that teaches us prefer thy brother above thyself. Amen. You know why we've got little girls that are growing up in our church and you don't know when to speak to them, you don't know how to speak to them, and you think that they were born with that nature? They developed that nature out of your life. It came from you. Amen. That disrespectful talk, that disrespectful nature, that defiant to authority, it came from the life of its elders. It came from the life of those grown folks that it sets around. And I feel you tightening up. I can feel it grabbing in my throat. You don't want me to preach it, but I'm here to tell you, I'm afraid we got a generation that's coming up among us that has no care for respect. None. None whatsoever. It doesn't bother them to disrespect you. I know where I'm headed. I never one time, and I've preached it for all the years I've been here, one thing I admired about my dad, there's massive of other things as a father figure I admired about him. But Brother Rob, he never one time took my word over an adult's word. But you parents do. Your child could lie to you. Come on here now. They could lie to you and you will vow up and down, I know when my child's lying. You're the number one parent I don't trust. You are the number one parent that I do not trust. You know why? Because you're blind. Number one, you can say, oh, well, I know him, I know her. They will never lie to me. I can tell when they lie. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're so smart you can tell when they're lying, how come they're disrespectful? And how come they hate authority? And if you know when they're lying, how come you can't pinpoint and tell when they're lying on other people? Boy, you feel how tight it is in here? Yeah. I have very little confidence. I know it's tight, but you remember you developed the air in this building. I have very little confidence in the parent that says, I know the nature of my child. Number one, the fallacy is you're blind because you love that child. Some of our children, Brother Stanley, can get in trouble, and my wife will get a text as long as your leg justifying why that child's having problems. Me no dummy. I mean, she'll get a text, and it doesn't matter what's going on in the life of that child. It'd be this long. I'm serious about it. I mean, it's got just about at the end of the text. It's broke up in so many sending of texts. It says to be continued, to be continued, to be continued. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you can't ask them which way did the bird fly for them telling you all about the zoology and how the bird got here. Come on here now. You know why you don't like what I'm about to say? It's because you are the number one reason that your child will probably grow up and never sell out to God. You're going to be the number one reason that baby will grow up and hate the house of God, because it was never taught to love it and to respect it. Stay with me. If it gets lengthy, remember I had to pull you to come with me. Your nature is not confined unto yourself. It comes from you and handed down to your children. I know that it's a little bit needs to be said right here. Anybody ever done a survey of your nature and what you do, how you act, what you touch, the way you grab things? Anybody ever done that? You ever looked at your hands and thought about your father? Thought about somebody that was a male figure in your life if you didn't have a father? And you got to looking around and I've got to looking. My fingernails are flat. I don't have no arch. I wish everything else was flat, but it ain't. But my fingernails are. I have looked at them, and I said, that's the way my dad's fingernails are. They're just like that. They're just flat. And you know what bothers me is that I can be honest enough to pinpoint not only the good, but I've got honesty enough to pinpoint the Phillips nature, the Kenny nature, and say that's the way they act. And I don't want to be that way. I know it's tight. I'm using my name, my family name, so some of y'all won't roll out of here and get mad no worse than what you're fixing to get. We have lost the amount of respect. Respect has been lost and graduated in a downward spiral to disrespect with cap and gown and hilarity as that child stands and defies an adult . Lies on an adult. Come on, don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. And I want to ease a little closer right here. In the 26 years almost that I've been here, I've had meetings. I have had meetings, Brother Rob, and you've been in on some of them, where the children were sitting there and they would lie to me and lie to their mom, lie to their daddy. Nope. And it'd be weeks that they would continue that lie until I felt God deal with me to break the yoke and say, now you tell me you are lying and the Holy Ghost knows you're lying. And I've watched, come on honey, I've watched that hard case of lying break down and cry and say, I've been lying and I'm sorry. A solid happened. And you know the reason why they won't do it to you is because they've not only lost the respect for you, but they've lost the respect for the Word of God and the consequences of the Word of God. I'm bothered about this, and I know that we should have a Sunday night move of God. But I'm telling you, from the first note on the piano, the atmosphere wasn't shouting to start with. So don't go telling me about how tight it is. We came in here on our feelings. We operated in on our feelings. We didn't know if we had the mind of God or not. And we're raising a generation of children that can just live like they want to, just like we church. God help us to realize that for every action there is a reaction. Amen. And for everything you do, there is a consequence, and you're gonna have to pay for it. You know why some of you younger men that are married can't get a hold of God right now? In your youth, you never valued honesty. You You never valued it. You never valued what it meant to have character. We can stand here and say, preacher, and I'm bothered about this because I prayed. And I told the Lord, I said, how do I say this? I said, there's something that's troubling me. I said, this should be Sunday night evangelistic service. And this should be a Sunday night. But you look around. Look at the gap that's in these pews. How many did you count here tonight? Where's Brother Vic? 144. We dropped from this morning tonight 10 people. We dropped in our church from a month ago in the average of 15 to 20 people. Whose fault is it? What is it that makes that difference? Your love for the house of God will teach you to respect the value of that house. It will not become just church. You wouldn't just come waltz yourself up here and get on the drums and the bass and the guitar, the piano. You wouldn't just grab. I know where I'm headed. We've lost the value of the respect. We want a preacher that can preach. We want a preacher to get anointed. But we don't want to get anointed singing. We don't want to get anointed preaching. We don't want to get anointed praying. And we've lost the respect of holding the holy in our hands. We've lost the value of what it means to be God. I want to honor you with my praise. I want to honor you with my hallelujah. Until quietness has crept in among us and our children don't know how to worship. And so they're left unto disrespect. They're left to the disrespect. I'm bothered, and I may not win you tonight. But there was a time, I remember when I was younger, children, Brother Billy, were to be seen and not heard. I know it's a little old-fashioned. You say you like old-fashioned gospel. This is part of it. You don't want your daddy to get bent out of shape. You let him think somebody's lying on his child. He'll get so unsanctified he can't say amen. He can't shout hallelujah. He'll get so distorted in how he's feeling about the situation until it'll clam up his very personal relationship with the Son of God. Amen. You know I'm telling you right. It's happening with some of you tonight. I'm telling you it's a crying shame that we've allowed the disrespect of our generation get into our holiness homes, get into our holiness lives, and get in to ruin our testimony. I wish you'd hear me while I preach to you. It may not be hand select, you may not feel like it, but it's ordered of God tonight, and that is the consequences of the lack of your teaching your children to respect. They will become mockers of the house of God. Every time your children, boy howdy, I know I told you I really don't even want to be the one preaching this. I could start a riot right in this church right now. You know that? I really could. I could start a riot right here. I could just turn my back and let y'all see it. And say, how many of you children go home away from the church and hear your mom and your dad call the pastor by his first name instead of by brother. And I wonder how many hands would grow up across this house. You don't want to help me preach. And did you want them to love somebody in this pulpit when you don't even respect this pulpit? You want them to love and listen in school when they're being told by a teacher what to do when you don't even reverence the fact that that child needs to learn submission. I know it's not what you want to hear, but I got to preach it to you anyhow. Submission is God's divine order in answering prayer. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I will tell you tonight, unless we learn the value of respect, we're going to lose a generation right off our pews. We have lost the element. You know why I grew up loving preachers? You know why I did? Because I was taught that ministry was valuable. You know why I grew up at the age of just a young boy? I remember Dad. And I know it's tight for me, and I'm ready to preach if I've got to do it by myself without you. I remember when I was just a young boy at the age of 10. I remember Brother William A. Bridges was the general overseer of the fellowship that my dad was in. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I always wanted to be around him. He had them old cars. And you know, I just thought, you know, they were just neat. He was 75 years old when I was a kid. And he'd preach an hour and a half and walk the back of the pews and climb a tree. Am I telling it right? I mean, great God. I watched him at 75 cast the devils out of a woman that told another man that he was a devil. He walked over and put his hand on and said, "You get up from there in the name of Jesus. So you old folks don't come up with this noise. I'm just weak and I'm tired." Faith has nothing to do with the carnal nature of strength. It is a spiritual character that lives inside of what you reverence the most in your life. Amen. I'll never forget it. I was probably 9, 10 years old. He was known to be a hander of tracts everywhere he went. I remember one day when they was in Chicago, we lived in Romeoville. He was going that day. He was staying at our house. And I know this is boring to you, but he was going early and he was going to go to the church and he was going to get there and pray, and I didn't even know what it was to pray. I just knew I wanted to be around him. I wanted to be around the man of God. I just wanted to be close to him. I didn't know why, but I remember going and riding to the church with him, and I remember him getting out on the street, walking up and down in front of the street there on Clyburn Avenue, and he's handing out tracts to everybody, and he passed by and was telling them about Jesus. I mean, I couldn't hardly do anything. I didn't know what to say, but I was so wrapped backed up. I didn't even know what the word respect meant. But inside my heart, I had a nature for it. I didn't know God was developing something inside of me. And this is where it's going to sting you. There's some of you that are ruining the will of God in the life of your children by what you don't teach them and what you don't put in their life and what you let them become on their own. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? When the scripture says, a child that's left to himself shall bring his mother shame. That ain't talking about mama, you leaving him in the bedroom by himself. That is talking about leaving that child alone to make his own decisions in life without the guided counsel of a praying mama and a praying daddy. How can you expect for God to create something heavenly while hell is musing the heart of your child? You say, preacher, how do I stop it? There ain't but one solid remedy, and that is for you to fall in love with God again, and that's for you to respect God again. You know, daddy, why you gotta beat that girl so hard? Look how much God has to reprove you. Look how much God has to mold your character. But we pride ourselves. Oh, she's like me. What a fool you are. What a fool it is that you would admit shame as a badge instead of a reproach. I want to get to my story, but I'm bothered that the ministry has been reduced to no more than just a preacher and not a man of God. It ain't going to set well. I'll tell you, and I'm going to be just as honest as I know to be honest. Is that okay? If there's anything I battle about pastoring this church, it's two things. Number one, the longevity of being here. Number two, the danger of the familiarity. Until that man has become nothing no more than but a disrespectful twist in your words to that man. I told you I didn't want to preach this. I didn't want to even talk about it. But God spoke to my heart and dealt with my soul. The reason I will not move in their house and move among their children is they've disrespected the office of my house and the man of God of my house. I don't think you would even live long enough to understand the pressure of me having to preach this tonight, because it sounds like it's more about me as the pastor. But I must tell you, if that man of God's got enough power to pray to heal your body, don't be a fool. He has enough power to pray to say, God, deal with him. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I want to prove it to you. I read to you where Hebrews 13:17 said, he said to obey them that hath rule over you, that they may do it what? Joyfully. He said, when he made the statement at the end of it, he said that if they do it grievously, or if it grieves them to do it, he said, it's unprofitable for you. Why is it that Paul said concerning all the rest of them that fought against him, Hymenaeus and all of them, he said, I turned them over to the devil. I turned Alexander the coppersmith over to the devil to let the devil do with them what he wants to do with them. I want to ask a question. Why you think it's so much chaos? Number one, God's order is you got to respect this house. You got to respect this preacher. You got to respect this Bible. And God will hear your prayer, but he's not going to hear it as long as your attitude is, I don't have to listen to nobody. It wouldn't bother me, and I'm sorry, but it wouldn't bother me near as bad, are you hearing me, if it was 42 grown men. But it bothers me that it was 42 talking children. That bothers me. You know why? I'm going to tell you why it bothers me. It's the loss of their lives, of innocence. And they were acting out of character, no doubt, by what fed them at the table every day. Oh, I feel God to preach this. Pray hard, honey. It ain't going to set well with the things I've got to say tonight. I want to know, can't you see why that boy yours is so disrespectful to you, Mama? It's because look how much God has wrestled with trying to change things in your life. The fallacy to parenting is, come here just a minute, is when that child is little, you say, preacher, ooh, he's got a temper and an attitude. Where'd he get it from? Where did that come from? If he don't like being told what to do, daddy, where did that boy get that at? Oh, hallelujah. I'm bothered that we want to say, it's his fault. It's his fault. I want to ask you a question. If it's his fault, well then who in the world's fault is it that you're like you are? Oh, I felt you slap that back. How much, Mom, have you wrestled with the discipline of the Word of God? I know it's going to get tough for me, but I feel help right here. I'm going to ask you, how much have you walked out of the service without shaking the hand of the preacher and saying, no, nothing negative, except for I need to move up. I need to change my ways. It's always come on here now. Boy, you skin us. That's the attitude of a fool. That's the attitude of a disrespected heart. That's what's the matter. We got grown men that can make money, but they're babies in their life. They pout, they cry, they puff up, they get mad. You need a bottle, what you need. You need something that'll pacify you. What we need in this army is men that are raised soldiers in the army of God. Help me pray. Baby, help me out right here. October the 3rd will mark 30 years for me and my wife. She is a trusting factor in my life above every human walking. And I mean that out of every human. There's not a preacher, not a family member, not nobody that I will trust any better than I trust my wife. But she'll tell you right now, I've been down and I've been discouraged, but I ain't never ran home and pouted like a big baby that she's had to call me out of my bedroom or out of my solitude. She ain't never had to come gently and knock on a door and ask if she could talk to me, or was I in a talking mood? Are you hearing me? You helping me out? I want to tell you something in this house. There's sometimes trouble will make you silent and make you ponder in your heart the will of God, the ways of God. But it'll never disrupt your character. It'll never change your fortitude with God. You'll still be a fighter in His army. You ain't helping me. You'll be somebody. You're no better than Ahab. If you can go home and pout over preaching and pout over what the brothers got to say. Come on, say amen. You know why some of you women don't want to say amen? Is your pouting Ahab has come home and said, sometimes I'm sick of being around them. I want to tell you, sir, you're spilling a generation at the cost of your ignorance. You're ruining a generation of children. There's something I want to bring out. And not only is there a major disrespect, but there is a character that's lost that has elevated our divorce court and has elevated our prison houses. Our children are raised with the fortitude. If it don't work out, quit. If you got trouble, give it up. If it ain't going right, pout and stay home and cry about it. There's been a lot of times, look at this little fat face of mine. I mounted this pulpit and preached when I wanted to rip everything apart. I said, well, you've done it. Them are the days I was authorized to do it. Anybody remember when Elijah came to talk to Ahab? Who was it that ran to meet him? Obed ran out there. Was it Obadiah, ran out there to meet him. When he got out there to meet him, you know, I want you to notice the respect of the ministry. He looked at him and said, go tell Ahab I want to talk to him. He said, oh, my Lord. He said, I'm not trying. Can I paraphrase? Is that all right? I'm not trying to disrespect you. But he said, knowing the mind of the Spirit and what it has done, he said, you're asking for my life to be taken. He said, because the minute I leave, the Spirit may get you and take you somewhere else. When's the last time that you had enough of respect for the house of God and the man of God? And he wasn't just Noah in your table or among your family. He was the man of God. I feel like preaching in this house. When's the last time? You know why some of you folks will never get anywhere with God? You don't know how to respect God. When you respect God, you don't want to walk your walk. You don't want to talk your talk. You want to live by the order of the will of God. Woo! We want the bread and the meat, but we don't want to live the character. Not only did he feel a divine reverence, I want you to notice it was a character that was inside of him by the relationship that he knew about God. He said, I can't tell God what to do. But I want you to notice at the end of the story, listen to me. I'm going to get back to my story. But I've got somewhere I need to preach about this disrespectful nature. You're looking at a preacher right here. And God, strike me if I lie to you. I've never, ever, and I'm 50 years old, You hear me? I've got my hide tan when I was a child for running my mouth. But since I grew up in the ministry and had respect for the things of God, I've never raised my voice at my daddy. I've never raised my voice at my mother. I've never disrespected them in 36 years of being saved. You know why? Because until you learn to respect God, you'll never respect each other. That ain't sitting well. I said it ain't sitting well. That's what I've told you, and I'm going to say it again. When my daddy dies or my mom dies, fat boy's going to lean over that coffin, and there ain't going to be one regret that I've got since I've got saved. I'll tell you there's only one, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. And it's a push of mine, is I don't get to go down as much as I would like to between pastoring and the school and building and preaching meetings. I'm not saying this for glory. Last night at 1 o'clock, sitting at my table, reading and studying, a pastor calls me from another state and said, "Can you come preach us a revival?" I turned down 7 meetings since I went to Arkansas. I want to tell you something. There's only the power that one man can do. But you listen to me in this house. Until we get back to loving God and respecting God, we can forget a move of God that's going to save our children. You say, "Daddy," you say, "Preacher, I ain't got to do it." You say, "Mama, I don't have to do it." You got to do it, or you're going to lose your children under the bears. You're going to lose them to the bears. You're going to lose them. I'm a bothered man, and I'm going to preach to Bethel tonight. What made that little girl that you've got so boyish that when a grown man or the pastor walks by to shake your little girl's hand, she can slap it and pull it back? Don't you understand? The seed of disrespect starts not as a boulder, but as a mustard seed. I'm feeling the preacher to preach this. I've had preachers in my life that I deemed highly and respect highly. But you listen to me. I don't have a pet name for my daddy. I don't have a pet name for my mama. And there ain't been a preacher in my life since I've been preaching that I've got a pet name for. They're brother this and brother that. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost dealt with me, and it may not set well, but they, some of you men would be easily absent to the king of the palace. Huh? I told my wife the other day, "Come on, help me out, honey." We were sitting at a table talking about some issues, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "I love everybody in this church." I said, "But the more that I'm getting older and the more I'm pastoring, I see how fickle some people's natures are, that they could turn on you in just a split second. Real loyalty never defies character." I don't think you heard what I just said. Real loyalty never defies character. Where you come up with the statement, if somebody come up to me and said, "So-and-so, a preacher friend of mine, had committed adultery," I'm going to tell you something. My character with him, my character with myself, I'd look at you and say right off the bat, I don't believe a word you've got to say. He said, well, preacher, I'll prove it to you. That's what you're going to have to do. I ain't going to let a lie stop my character. I'm not going to let a lie stop my relationship. Come on here, back up on me if you want to. Listen to me. We've moved into a generation that has lost the value of respect. Amen. Great God Almighty. Listen to what I'm trying to preach to you. I've got mamas and daddies in this building. We can get on to your children at school and you can walk out of here and double talk us and say we weren't behind you 100%. Get home to your family and down the school, down the church, down the teacher. You know what you're teaching your baby? You're teaching them hate everybody, disrespect everybody, love nobody but yourself. But let me tell you something, self-love is a cold love. I've got to quit. I've got to hurry. We've lost a generation that has. You know, Daddy, I want you to help me preach right here. Military used to teach men to be respectful. You know why our men can walk down the streets right now? But look at the attitude of most of them that come out. They never. I was talking to Tyler the other day. And I told about the time that my dad told. He said, this drill sergeant, you smart mouthed him. He said, he could put a whooping on you. He put a whooping on you. Old boy from Kentucky told, and I've got to hurry and quit. Old boy from Kentucky told the drill sergeant in my dad's camp. And said, if you didn't have them all that on you, he said, I'd show you. He said, he's just a big old boy. He said, I'd show you what a country boy could do. He said, old drill sergeant took that shirt off, laid it aside, and made that private took his shirt off. He said that drill sergeant was smaller than the private. Said, but he forevermore put a whooping on the private, made him stand back up, put his shirt on, fall back in line. It taught him you ain't as bad as your head's trying to tell you. And I'm going to hurt your feelings, young lady. You know why you got that stinking rotten attitude? And you're not married yet and no boy likes you. And no boy wants to get around you. You need to take a good old-fashioned look in the mirror. You're not as beautiful as your brain is trying to tell you you are. You better be glad God's gave you a man that loves holiness, loves purity, loves righteousness. But thank God Almighty, I feel something. When we lose our respect for God, we lose the counsel and the leadership of God. Woo! Vain! Disrespect produces vain images. I've saw young girls that I've told my wife, I said, that's a pretty girl. I said, I wouldn't be nowhere near if they paid me $1 million. And I mean it. You don't know nothing about fat boy here like you think you do. Ain't nothing I distaste anymore as a nasty housekeeping woman. I don't care if she can fix her hair and make everybody's head turn in town. You're no more than what your house is. Mama, when you don't clean your house, you're teaching your children. I'm feeling too wild at preaching. It liable to get unprofitable for us. My mom's dad, his name was Merle, go figure. And my grandma was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. I mean, when she was 80-something years old, in her late 70s, she hardly had any gray hair at all. Yeah. Man, she kept hers black and I've lost mine. Ain't got much in me. She told me, she said, I watched, come on, Mama, help me out right here. She said, I watched my mama clean house all day. Huh? She said, I watched her clean house all day. Hang out all the washing. Hey, some of you act like you're the only one that ever had a baby. Huh? I remember Mom, am I getting too far out on the left field? Got a little stinking stuffed up nose and you can't come to school, you can't come to church, you can't come nowhere. You just an old weakling, that's what's wrong with you. You want some drugs, don't you? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what they want. Huh? Smile. That's what they want. I know the box says only take 2 every 4 hours, but it works better when you take 6 every 2 hours. Ain't going to hurt you. No, that's why your noodle's already fried. Come on here now. I remember Brother Billy. I need to hurry right here. I remember old Mom said she'd hang out. Grandma would hang out clothes. Oh, it's a different day. It is a different time. It should be a lot easier to just walk over there and throw them in the... You know what I mean? Push the button and... Yeah. You'll lay in that old rotten bed with it stacked up this high with dirty clothes and... snot tissue on this side, this high. Huh? Yeah. And want him to come over there and wipe your nose for you. Men, don't be sissies. There's a difference in nursing for a sick woman than it is being her Ahab. Yeah. She said, Brother Stanley, she said, I'd watch Mama. And she'd go in there and she'd hang out them clothes. And said she'd go in there and tell him, say, hey, go out in the field and get your daddy. And, am I telling it right, Mama? And said, go get the midwife and tell her, come on, I think I'm ready. I mean, she done cooked dinner, washed clothes, cleaned house, hung it out. I think I'm ready. For what? Come on now. Show me you get a little boo-boo and you can't even wipe your nose. I'm getting mean, ain't I? Huh? I mean... I don't want to be mean. Little poor Brother Wayne. Look at him. Oh, I love his little heart. He know he's mean as a thorn. You ever want to take a thorn out of your hand? Huh? I've watched him walk around with that old thing on his arm. And I watched him where he fought with this hand trying to get it up there. Oh, some of you powders, go on and pout. You ain't laughed since I started. You won't laugh at anything anyways. He come in the room the other day and he said, boy, this arm's killing me. I said, you know why? I said, you've always used this one. I said, this one here didn't do anything. I said, now you're making it work. I said, that's the reason it's hurting. But I watched him over the past week. He's wanting to get back in that eating business so bad. I mean, you ain't seen a man wrestle with a chicken leg in all your life. I think he's about ready to go buy turkey legs or longer. Come on here. I was sitting in the restaurant the other night, and I watched him as he reached over there and he unstrapped that thing and took it off and dropped it on the floor. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm tired of this thing." And the old fork went to going, he went to getting back in business again. Come on now. Be honest with me. We can do what we want to do when we want to do it. Some of us just like being babied. Some of us like finding an excuse that we don't get up and get dressed. And we lay in our night clothes all day long. And the house gets nasty. And then we want to tell our children, find a good wife. Find somebody that's going to love you. Where's the role model? Where's the character that respects their daddy, loves their house, and loves what is right? Woo! Hey! I feel bad. My wife's been hurting for almost a week or two, or longer. That's why she ain't standing up now. And I wake up in the morning and she's over there ironing my clothes with one foot in the air. That bothers me. I tell her I can get it. She just won't let me get it. When you love something, you'll sacrifice beyond yourself. That ain't flying, is it? I said, that ain't flying, is it? And when you really love your children, you'll teach them to respect the house of God, the man of God. You'll teach them to respect those that have rule over them. Oh, you ain't helping me preach, are you? You know why some of you don't like this? That's why it's took months and years, and some never has yet prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's because you don't know what it means to shut your mouth and be told what to do. Say amen. Where in the world did that come from? Thank God. It'd be some of us, if we learn to keep quiet, we don't know how to live right. We swing from one end of the pendulum under the other. We're either happy or sad. We don't know how to rejoice and hide our fears, hide our frustrations, and hold on to God in spite of the pressure. Sticky notes didn't work tonight, did they? What you developed is the product of your children in their choices at their age. I want you to notice as I close. I want you to notice the failure that testified against the parents. This is right after the great miracle, when the bitter water becomes sweet. As the preacher, come on, look at me. I hate to do this. Has anybody in this building been benefited by the preaching of the Word of God? Huh? Then how is it that the bitter water becomes sweet and now you can look at him and call him old Baldy? It's just right out of the setting of the miracle. It's something I need to preach right here in closing. Be careful that you don't get cursed right after your miracle. We like the preacher when he's positive. But the profounding of this scripture is so shocking that the man of God had not only enough power to turn the bittersweet, but he had enough power to carry out the vengeance of God on disrespect. It's tight right there. It does matter how you approach the man of God. And it does matter how you act toward God's church. We have moved into a generation, and I'm hurrying to a close. We see it's the preacher's number. And there's some of you so bad at it. And then you want to lie when you call, sorry, I missed your number. How you call it sorry? When you deliberately didn't want to take it. Brother Stanley, if I ignored the calls like I get ignored, we wouldn't have as many as we got in this church right now. But it don't matter what you treat the preacher. Don't matter what you say about the man of God. You want him on the end of your yo-yo. Some things has transpired in our church in the past few weeks. This young lady right here that I'm married to, she lives with me.